Well, here I'm again a year later, again giving the Shabbat Shuvah message. You know, it's a high privilege and responsibility to teach from the Word of God, and perhaps even more so on what's called Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of repentance. So also, thank you, Rabbi Lauren, for the vote of confidence. Hopefully I won't betray it. Yeah, we'll see. Hosea chapter 14 has long been the Haftarah reading on Shabbat Shuvah. Now, when I say Haftarah, some of you are going, half the Torah? No. Haftarah is from the verb patah, meaning to interpret, patar. So Haftarah is a reading from the prophets that complements the reading from the Torah. And Hosea 14 has long been the Haftarah reading for this Shabbat. And it's appropriate to begin this new Jewish year with a summons to turn from our sinful ways and return to Adonai. And I'd like to begin our Shabbat Shuvah message by reading two excerpts from Hosea 14. So first, I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 3. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses, nor will we ever again say our God to the work of our hands. For in you, the orphan finds mercy. And then we have God's answer in verses 4 and 5. He says, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the morning dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. And then the chapter ends with these words in verse 9. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. And those are the very last words of the prophecy of Hosea. Did you notice it said, listen carefully? You know, it's one thing to hear. It's quite another to listen. We hear things all the time without giving any thought to them. Things that become just so much background noise. We tune those things out. Some of you will remember the Charlie Brown television specials. And whenever anybody's parents were talking, you didn't hear what they're saying. You just heard, wah, 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 wah. Meaning, whatever they were saying was considered irrelevant. Nobody paid it any attention. And then there are times we are listening, but not attentively. And we quickly forget what was just said. God, you know, and I'm embarrassed to say I'm guilty of this. An example, I'll meet somebody for the first time and almost immediately forget their name. And I know that doesn't happen with any of you. So we're listening, but we're not really listening. It's kind of funny that sometimes today, when someone wants to know if you've really heard what they're saying, they'll ask, do you feel me? But they're really asking, have you really heard what I said? To give ear is to listen with intent. That means investing mental and, if necessary, emotional energy to what's been said. God is calling Israel and by extension all people everywhere to repent. And so we are summoned not just on Shabbat Shuvah, but really at all times to return to the Lord. The same Hebrew word shuv, which means to turn or return, is the word that's used for repent. And here, Ha'azinu, we have the swan song of Moses. And Ha'azinu, again, means give ear, pay attention. And it has those same two themes, this passage in Hosea. On the one hand, the sinfulness from which we all need to turn away. And on the other, that Adonai's ways are just and upright and compassionate. And it's that very compassion that beckons us, return to the Lord your God. Think of it as a 180-degree turn, right? Reversing course. Now, I'd like to get very specific this morning about what it is that we need to turn away from. Uh-oh. What we really need to turn away from if we would sincerely repent, and to whom we must turn. As was the case last year, I have a message to the broader Jewish community and a message for our Shema family. First, let me address the broader Jewish community, both here in Metro Detroit and wherever in the world my fellow Jews may be listening. I want to highlight two particular things that have been on my heart, things that my people need to repent of. And the first is indifference, complacency, even irreverence towards God and the scriptures. I would remind us that the Torah warns against following a crowd to do wrong or just mindlessly going along with the majority. Adonai has given us intelligence and will, and we should employ both of them. Examine things on their own merits and follow the truth wherever it leads, regardless of the consequences, even if that puts us in the minority, even if it means being that odd man out. Far too many of my people hold a dismissive, in some cases even a disdainful view of the Tanakh, the scriptures. How ironic that we are known as the people of the book, and yet it seems almost nobody's reading that book. Jewish people tend to be very literate, but biblically illiterate. Few make any sincere effort to read the Bible. Fewer still actually study it. And sadly, those within the Jewish community who are studying aren't studying the Word of God. They're studying the Talmud, the opinions and the decisions of rabbis instead of God's sacred word. If faith comes by hearing the word, and if Jewish people are ignoring the word, is it any wonder that so many of my people are agnostic and others even atheists? Miracles in the Bible are rejected out of hand, and the book is looked at as little more than a collection of myths and glorified fairy tales. Let me add this. God promised in these same scriptures to send the Messiah. So how can we know how to recognize the real Messiah from the bevy of counterfeit messiahs if we can't be bothered to study the scriptures? What you don't know can hurt you, and big time. Tshuva, repentance for my people in 5784, consists in part, and that was part one, of turning back to Adonai and becoming students of his wondrous word. Second, Yirat Adam. My people need to repent from the fear of disapproval from others. Yirat Adam, the fear of man, worrying about what everybody thinks. When I am asked, and I'm asked this often, why most Jewish people don't believe in Jesus, I have a simple answer. And I'm not telling you now, I'll tell you in a few minutes. But I will say this, the real reason most Jewish people are unwilling even to discuss the possibility that Yeshua is the Messiah has nothing to do with theology or unfulfilled prophecy or a lack of evidence though sometimes those are given as a pretext, as rationale. Neither is it that Jewish people reject Yeshua because of the Holocaust, although that sometimes is given as a reason. Nor do Jewish people reject Yeshua because of the pogroms in the 18th and 19th centuries, or the Spanish Inquisition of the 15th and 16th centuries, or the Crusades of the 10th and 11th centuries. Those were genuinely horrible times for my people, but they are not the reasons either. Not in the 21st century. 1,000 years before there was even such a thing as a crusade, my people were already rejecting Yeshua. 1,000 years earlier, my people were excluding the possibility of Yeshua being the Messiah. The rabbis had etched that line in the sand, and the people fell in line. Now, if you're looking for a date on the calendar or an event to which to attach this institutional refusal, or if you're looking to identify the individual, perhaps, who codified it, most scholars suggest that that real breach, that break, came in the aftermath of the failed Bar Kokhba revolt against Rome, which ended tragically in 135 AD. The blame for that tragedy, Rabbi Akiva laid squarely at the feet of the Jewish followers of Yeshua. From that time onward, if you were a Jew for Jesus, you were an outcast, period. And nothing has changed in 2,000 years. So let me get back to the question, because I did tell you I would give you my answer. Let me get back to the question, why is it that most Jewish people don't believe in Jesus? Answer, because most other Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. Listen, nobody wants to be an outcast. I get it. In that regard, who can blame the Jewish people for being reluctant to investigate Yeshua's claim to be the Messiah in the face of such institutional pressure and the ongoing censure of Messianic Jews? Nobody wants to be a part of a hated class of people. But this is my challenge to my people on this Shabbat Shuvah. If you hope to experience God's forgiveness, you must repent of the sin of fearing people's disapproval more than you fear His disapproval. Proverbs 29:25 says, "It is a dangerous trap to be concerned with what others think of you. But if you trust in Adonai, you are safe." Now, I'm applying that to mean that you need to marshal the courage to read and consider the gospel. That's my challenge. Examine the life of Yeshua. Compare it with the ancient Jewish prophecies that foretold the Messiah. Amazing prophecies, sometimes very specific. For example, the miraculous circumstances of his birth, his ancestry, the very name of the village in which he would be born, the timing and the circumstances in Eretz Yisrael at his first appearance, things about his character like his humility, his godliness, his miracle-working power, and also prophecies that Israel's leaders would oppose him, that he would be surrounded by a mob of people mocking him as he would be unjustly put to death, and that he would not remain dead but be resurrected on the third day. It's all there in the Jewish scriptures. But if you're either too complacent to investigate or too afraid of what Uncle Herschel or Aunt Phyllis might think, then you're in a very bad place. And I know full well nothing I can say will change that. But maybe on this Shabbat Shuvah, maybe God's Spirit is stirring you. Maybe you're tired of living in fear of what everybody else thinks, fear of people's disapproval. And maybe you suspect deep down that there's more meaning to this life. And maybe you're hoping deep down that there are answers, and there are, to life in the world to come. And you're willing to begin that journey of discovery. May Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, give you that courage. and that hunger for the truth. Ha'azinu, give ear. That is the challenge. Be willing to admit the evidence for his messiahship into the courtroom of your thoughts. To refuse to honestly do that contradicts the very theme of this passage. Give ear. It was for good reason that Messiah Yeshua said, if you continue in my teaching, then you will truly be my disciple and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It seems to me that Shabbat Shuvah is as good a day as any to begin that journey to freedom. Shuvah, a 180 degree turn, a U-turn. And now let me address my Shema family. In case you thought you were getting off scot-free. Let me address my Shema family, both those of you who are here, those of you who watch us regularly but are unable to be here. We in the community of Messiah's followers have areas of need of repentance as well. So please, ha'azinu, give ear. Listen and pay attention to these words of Yeshua. He said, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? What did Yeshua say we should do? Anybody? No, I'm sorry, just. What did Yeshua say that we should do? I found a nice list of 50 things. Mercifully, I'll only list 14 of them this morning. 14. Number one, repent. Number two, love one another in such a way that people take note. Number three, settle disputes quickly. Don't hold grudges. Number four, don't lust. Number five, don't divorce. Number six, keep your word. Number seven, turn the other cheek, meaning don't return insult for insult. Number eight, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Number nine, forgive one another from your heart. Number 10, store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Number 11, treat others the way you yourself want to be treated. Number 12, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Live a holy life. Number 13, beware of false teachers. Number 14, go out, make disciples, and spread his teachings. So how are you doing with those 14 things? You might say, I guess I'm doing pretty good. I think I got 11 out of 14. On an exam in your anatomy class, that's 79%. That's a C+. Are you okay with that? Should you be okay with that? Oh, wait. I almost forgot there's another thing Yeshua said to do. He said, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Suddenly, 79% does not sound very good. You see, we need to remember that it's God himself, not you, not me, not the guy over here, not the woman over here. He himself is the standard against which everything, and in particular righteousness, is measured. Adonai is perfect, and he doesn't grade on a curve. Now, you and I understand that we aren't appealing to God on the basis of any sort of righteousness we think we possess. And we know from our study of Scripture that we can't earn salvation. It's his gift. We come to him on the basis of his mercy. But the danger of living in a covenant of grace in which Messiah has already paid the full price for all of our sins, the danger is that we can settle for mediocrity. We settle for less. We settle for a little bit of sin here and there. We settle for a lot less than 100%. And I think we also are failing to ha'azinu, give ear. We may be hearing per se, but are we paying attention? For some, the answer is, if we're going to be honest, no. The evidence of it is lives that are stagnant. We ought to be being transformed, right? Day by day, from glory to glory. And we should be utterly unrecognizable as pertains to our former way of life. People who knew you BC should be saying to you, man, you are different than I remember you. Yeshua said this, I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a man building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't act accordingly is like a person who builds a house on the ground without any foundation. When the floods sweep down upon that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So, brothers and sisters, please don't take this as a guilt trip, but as a nudge, a little goad from your rabbi and your brother who wants you to end well. I want to end well. That's what matters most. But let's at least get off to a good start in the new year. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for prayer.